Well, we have made it to Friday. I don't think we're getting any warmer, but I'm going to hope and pray that our sun, and remember I said this in July, that we need it to be warmer. It is Friday here, and there is a lot going on. Tomorrow, the Arizona GOP will elect new leadership, and it's going to be for a long day. So if you're a state committeeman and you're going to Maricopa County tomorrow to Dream City Church and going to be part of the process. I've had people ask me how long I think the day is going to be. I think the day is going to go into night is what I think is going to probably happen. So we should maybe start a pool about what time that meeting will get over. But it's going to be a long day tomorrow. And so it takes a lot of work to become an elected state committeeman. You have all new chairs across the state, and everyone's trying to do their jobs. And I hope that those that are for the party understand that we are in a transition time and we have to support those that step into the new leadership role. I'll have more about this next week, but it's important that we understand that those who are volunteers who are trying to do the right thing for our country, for our party, that we give them respect and we stop the mudslinging and the name calling and the diminishing of other people that we may not agree with or not like. It's, to me, intolerable. And we can't solve the bigger problems if we're busy demeaning and diminishing those around us. So I'm going to leave that there. And on that note, I'm going to welcome LD-17 State Senator Justine Watzak to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you today?
My blood's a little hotter than it was when I left my home this morning.
Happens to me on the daily.
Yeah, I'm in the frying pan. You are definitely in the fire, so that is okay.
Yeah.
So, is being in the legislature everything you thought it would be, Justine?
Yes. Oh yeah. No, it's that and more. And I just have to say, I'm really proud of our caucus right now. I think that we have a very new caucus. It's all about learning. There's a lot of new people that took over a lot of other seats. So we kind of cleaned house, and now we're all going around trying to figure out the best strategies and how to work together. And, the one thing I really have to say that I appreciate and like with this group is everybody seems to be willing to have conversations. They're not just fly off the handle and it's my way or the highway. There's a lot of communication, and I give that credit to closed caucuses, to meetings in each other's offices, discussing things. People aren't going to just go and kill bills that they don't understand. They're willing to do amendments. They're willing to listen and talk about these new ideas, because this is truly a citizens' legislature.
And I think the Senate is getting along up there a lot better than the House right now, correct?
Yeah. I'd say, the Senate is, and it's not, it's probably the way it should be. The Senate is there to protect the state, and the House is there to, be the voice of the people. And so it's really acting the way it should, but I would have to say that this is the most blood red a Senate that we've had in probably 30 years. And we've been, proud to say that, because when we get into a room together, there's no discord. It's conversations. So yeah, it's a good group.
I think you even said to me that some of the Democrats are, although they may not agree with you, that they're at least not being rude. They're being friendly.
No, it's been great. I mean, you guys, if you watch us on the floor, you'll see I've been over at Senator Hitachi's table talking to her about how can I help her with the Native tribes, the Hopis, the Navajo, who are, just going through brutal problems with regards to Health and Human Services. And their tribe is really under fire, and people are dying needlessly. And, it's something that I've always had a lot of care and interest in, and I don't have tribe land on my district. So, you know, I went across the aisle and said, how can I be of service? How can I help you? You know, I've worked with the tribal nations for years when I was producing concert events, and I have relationships. So how can I be of service? And then other days I have other senators who will walk across to our aisle and tell us, you know, I have this great bill and I think that you might want to get on because, you know, it has to do with type 1 diabetes and children who need glucagon pens from the nurse's office, you know, and these are things that are real issues that are nonpartisan, that are humanitarian, that we all can agree need to be, you know, discussed and fought for together.
And isn't that, and if everyone's representing the people, which is what we elected you to do, wouldn't that be nice if we could do that? And actually bring some camaraderie and some solutions to these problems that the state is facing. So, Justine.
Yeah, you'll see us. You'll give us, we'll be giving hugs. You know, we give hugs. We, you know, high five. There's no, I don't see anybody in on the floor that is scowling from across the aisle. We, you know, we're all willing to be grown adults and work as much together as we can. And it's really quite a beautiful thing to see. And I think we all understand that we have our purpose. But we're not here just on party issue. We're here on people. And it's a really new way of looking at things, in my opinion.
Well, let's hope that this is the honeymoon period and it stays and we have a happy marriage this legislative session. So you told me that you are working on a lot of bills. So how many bills have you been a part of so far?
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, it's kind of it's been hard because I've signed on to quite a few other people's bills. Because they're all saying the right things. Everybody wants to go after election integrity. And that's probably the only issue that I've not touched, because when you have people like Alex Culloden, who's an attorney, and he's writing these bills, and you know that he's the, you know, one of the main election law attorneys in Arizona, it's sort of like, let him do it. You know, he gets it. I'm going after more of the DCS related parents' rights, education to a certain extent, and just some of the government mechanics that would make Tucson perform more as a republic, small R republic. It's very important that we look at why we're in the position that we're in Pima County and why Tucson is struggling to represent the voices. And a lot of that is you know, the way our elections are set up just on a constitutional level. So one of the things that I'm doing is I am running a bill to promote and to get rid of the at-large voting in Tucson. And that requires, I'd like to see us go back to go to a ward only.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Justine, we have to take a break. So when we come back, I want to pick up right there. We're listening to Senator Justine Wadzak on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. This is Kathleen Wynn. It is Wynn Tucson. It is a wonderful Friday here in Tucson, Arizona, and we'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. We are happy it is Friday, and I'm actually not a state committeeman for the first time in 23 years, so I'm going to visit the meeting tomorrow, but I don't have to stay. Sorry, Senator Wadzak, you have to stay, so that's kind of mean, but it's as mean as I'm going to get today. So anyway, I've been to those meetings so for 23 years, so I feel like, you know, at least I get a badge or something, right?
You get a Saturday.
I get a Saturday, and I get to say hi and be friendly and not have to endure the... It's like childbirth.
The necessary pain,
exactly. So anyway, we were talking about voting and wards. So if you would, there's people inside the party that understand, but do me like a third grade level about what you're trying to accomplish here, because I think it's important that people understand what's been happening and how we need to fix it.
Well, the at-large voting that we have right now is voting by democracy, essentially. It's you're letting people from all over Tucson vote in any ward for any city council member, which when you look at the Constitution, the Arizona Constitution says that we have a right to voting by a republic and small r republic. And when you do that, that's where we should have people from that ward voting for people who are running in that ward. And that's where you'll have real elections come through. You'll see, and essentially we could pick up at least two more Republican seats on the Tucson City Council, which could be a game changer for a lot of the issues in Tucson, with homelessness, with the fentanyl crisis, with the tent encampments, and just general politics. So I know that this is something that people have been wanting to do for years, but from what I've learned in working with the lawyers, which we call ledge counsel up at the Capitol, you can't do ward only unless you make other changes. So that's why I've always wondered, why do we always have these initiatives where they go and get signatures on petitions to try and get the threshold of petition signatures needed so they can get a ward only? Even if they were to do that, it would wind up in court, and they would lose because the Constitution gives the city of Tucson the right to do essentially what they want with our elections because we are a charter city. So part of what I'm doing is I'm putting both of these issues into a referendum. So they'll go into the next after it's signed off on, which if it gets signed off on because of our we have a very split government right now with a red legislature and a blue governor's office. But this is pretty basic. It's give us the ability to have a free and fair election as it was intended in our Constitution. So the way the lawyers and I have put it together, and a lot of senators agree and others agree, the charter cities are part of the problem. So
what cities in Arizona are charter cities? Do you know? Or
I know Tucson. I know there's a handful. It's not the majority.
Okay.
So yes, this would affect all cities that are charter cities in Arizona. And it's what it really comes down to is it's part of the election integrity issue, but it's going after election integrity at some of the more basic levels instead of saying, obviously we want to have one day, one vote. Obviously we want to have, no more drop boxes, but Tucson doesn't have drop boxes. So there's different rules with our elections, depending on where you are in the state. But yeah, the charter city issue, that just puts far too much power in the Democrats' hand, and it's unbalanced.
Do we have I should know this, but I don't. So do we have precinct voting, or do we have voting center voting in Tucson?
We have voting center voting, and that's the other thing. I know that there's a bill that I signed on to for precinct voting and keeping the precinct small enough. And when you have precinct voting, that allows the precinct to count the votes
very quickly,
and
yes,
report those tallies. We can have results same night.
Wait. In Arizona, we could have the votes the same night?
I know.
I still don't think we have the vote. I mean, wasn't it just a week ago or a week and a half ago that we got more votes out of Pinal County for Abe? I mean,
yes.
So what is that, January? So you're saying that if we would go back to precinct voting, I would like to see it across the state, by the way.
That's how the law will work. It'll go statewide.
Yes. So what if you're the Democrat governor, why would you be against that?
Exactly. I think what's very encouraging, and I know that Cory and Rachel, Representative McGar and Representative Jones, they're seeing the same thing. They have a lot of Democrats that come over and say, okay, why do I want to change how this is done? Why do I want to change how that's done? And they're realizing that if the issues are happening and they're working against Republicans this time, they can easily work against Democrats next time. So it's how do we fix this so that it's literally people who run are being elected fairly. Let the people have their voice. That's the whole purpose of elections.
Yes, and that we're really electing the people that we want to get elected. Question for you.
Yeah.
Early balloting. I've heard several proposals that we don't have a month of early balloting, that maybe we shorten that to 2 weeks, and that there's a gap between early balloting and election day. So maybe early balloting is 2 weeks, maybe a month ahead of the election, but 2 weeks. And then it stops. You can't do early balloting. It's a shortened time period. Is there any movement to do something like that?
Yes, there's. I know that and the House is really dry because, like I said, some of our more election integrity experts are over in the House, and they're looking at the models from other states that work well. Florida being one. I know that Florida stops allowing the early balloting. I think it's 2 weeks before. So there's, you know, I don't know the exact days, but I know that that's been discussions in our caucus is, you know, we need to start looking at the other states that are successful. And why are they successful? Well, it has a lot to do with the mail-in ballots and the early ballots. And I understand there are some people who want no mail-in ballots. There are others who are in very red districts that are saying we can't have no mail-in ballots. We have to have some. I believe we also need to make sure we always have the military. We have the special needs, the disabled. You know, there's certain elderly. I mean, there are some exceptions for having a mail-in ballot. But it's the mail-in ballots that have been single-handedly destroying our country. So it's a very careful, it's a balance that we have to find that's very carefully thought out.
Well, and if you go to the Abe Hamadeh race, and I'm still calling it a race, 280 ballots. We went to one county, we went to Pinell County, and they were honest. They said, hey, we messed up here. And 550 ballots were now counted. Forget Maricopa County. Let's just set Maricopa County aside because they're a special case. But you got 13 other counties. There's 15 counties altogether. So Pinell's already done. But go to a Cochise. Go to a, you know, Graham Greenlee's kind of small. Maybe Yuma County. I guarantee you there's still ballots out there. And I'm hearing that there's still ballots that still have not been counted from election day. Are you hearing that?
Yes. And I just want to say, you know, Cochise could potentially lead the way on a lot of new things with the powers of their board of supervisors. it's going to be interesting, and we should all be watching Cochise because they are a little more bold than others.
And their election director just resigned and has stepped down. So that would put the election responsibilities, I think, back under David Stevens, who is the Cochise County recorder and former state legislator, by the way.
Right. No, it's going to be very interesting to watch these election integrity bills come through because Governor Hobbs is in a very interesting position where if she denies them and she uses her veto stamp like she has all but threatened, then it's not going to look very good. I mean, she has to be willing to look at the fact that we do have issues with our elections, clearly. I mean, Arizona has been the spotlight in a very negative way as a failure in our election process. So, you know, she has a decision to make. Take it personally and veto everybody, or look at this and say, okay, I got in one term. I need to fix it because what they've experienced can turn around and happen to us one day.
Well, I think it's interesting that around the country, we've only got a few seconds. I think it's interesting around the country that everyone knows Maricopa County, which is depressing.
Yes.
We have been the best worst example. I think if there was an award like the Emmys, best worst example goes to Arizona for how they conduct their elections. Justine, we have about 30 seconds, so just close us out and tell us.
Well, next I'd like to talk about some of the other bills when we get back because there's some exciting stuff coming through.
Okay, great. We will do that. So we are going to head into a break. You're listening to Senator Justine Wodzak on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. This is Kathleen Wynn, Wynn Tucson. We are we're having a Friday here. So, I think we're good. There's some music. I knew music was coming. And I am so glad it's the weekend. They don't let me drink on this show, but I think I may just start after today.
Right.
We'll be back right after this. Thanks. Welcome back to Win Tucson, and we're talking to Senator Justine Wodzak. She serves as the state senator in LD-17, and a brand new senator, replacing an incumbent. And Justine, how long have you been there now? 2 weeks?
Yes, 2 weeks.
So you don't even have a month under your belt right now. I am going to let you know that the biggest thing that the legislature has to do is the budget. And I think that we already know that the governor's budget, Katie Hobbs' budget, and the legislature's budget are not compatible at all. And the good news is it's not an election year, so if you guys have to stay there till the very end, I don't want that. It's always nice if the legislature can get out early, but it's going to determine on how much you guys can give and take. So when we went to the break, you were about to tell me about some bills that you have, so please continue.
Well, you're right. We've been in for just a little over 2 weeks because we've had a couple holidays. So it hasn't really been a full 2 weeks. But honestly, we've all been working our tails off to get the bills in. When you get to the legislature, they literally say, here's a desk, here's your office, good luck. A lot of the seasoned senators and legislators, they don't really tell the newbies what to do and where to go. But there have been a few that have come in and said, okay, I know you have a lot of citizen legislative bills that you want to get put in. Because a lot of the bills that go through the system are drawn up, they're run, they're drafted, they are pressed, they're put through, they're defended in the committees by lobbyists. They are lobbyist driven completely and utterly, and all it has is, the senator or the House representative's name on the bill to carry it, but they're completely, the work is done by the lobbyists. And then, they saw me come in with this spreadsheet with, dozens and dozens of bills that I want to get put through that will benefit the people. And so they immediately, Ledge Council reached out to me and said, what can we do to help you get these things done? Because these are great. They're literally there to help people. These are people bills. And so I'm blessed because I made really good relationships with Ledge Council, and they've helped to push me in the right direction and teach me the process. So just as I've said in all of my campaigning, I have a bill that will put to ballot in a referendum to add the Parents' Bill of Rights to the Arizona Constitution so that it can be codified into the state constitution and no one can touch it. But I also have in there that those who violate it will be charged with a felony. And in my opinion, if you have a doctor that's saying to a parent, you have to give your child this COVID shot, and then you don't, and they call DCS on you and try and take your child because you made the decision not to get your child vaccinated that way.
Yeah, parental rights should be superior.
Parental rights are paramount. Yeah.
So we have a caller. Do you mind if we take a call from?
Sure. Okay. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So Rick is on the line. And Rick, you have a question?
Yeah, there's a couple things, and I may have misheard a couple some of this because I had you on my internet. But anyway,
I hate when the internet does that.
Number one, we're talking about mail-in balloting and all this, and last year Senator Gowen had a bill to try to reduce the
days
mail-in balloting, but one of the things. Discussed with him was people that want to vote by mail, they need to pay for the return postage.
Oh, okay.
There's a really good bill that's coming that I really like. It was an idea that I know I was looking at was, we need to have like a pull tab on each ballot where it has the number, your voter, your ballot is voter number 1025. And you get to pull your tab off. You have your 1025 tab, and they can then file that ballot 1025, and then it gets logged into the system so you can check and see, did ballot 1025 get counted in the system? And it was something that was hard to get other people on board with because it would have been costly. They were saying they would have to change the ballots themselves. They couldn't just print them off because they had to have this tab on it. But I know that there is a bill that has been that's being worked on as we speak that will do something similar to that, so that we can start tracking, even if you're, whether you're mail-in, whether you're, you know, day of, you can still track your ballot, and it doesn't give away your personal information on that. It's still considered secret, if you will.
And to Rick's point, because I think this is what the point Rick's trying to make, is that if you're going to do the mail-in process, you need to at least pay for the postage, because there's a separate cost to our system when you mail in. Number one, we're mailing a ballot out to you. Number two, we shouldn't, you know, we're mailing it to you. You should pay to mail it back. Now, some might say, and Rick, I'm not saying this, but some might say that that is voter suppression, that we make people, you know, that, but people do drive to the polls to vote, and that costs them gas money. So, and given the price of gas right now, it's probably cheaper to mail your ballot back. But Rick, Rick, was there another point you wanted to make?
And I understand that point. I see what you're saying, and that it's a budgetary issue, that it's costing the state money to pay for the return postage, and that's definitely an idea I can take to the election integrity people.
Okay, and Rick, what was the other point you had?
You mentioned you're trying to put a bill together to eliminate charter cities. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
I have to tell you that, as my cousins in Texas say, the dog ain't going to hunt. charter cities, and I've been involved in elections for a long time here in Arizona, southern Arizona particularly.
Good.
You're not going to get rid of charter cities. It's just not going to work. You will have charter cities were set up. Tucson's was in 1929 or 28 or 29, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And that was one of the ways that allowed the individual communities to take some responsibility and ownership for their own territory. And whether or not I agree with the city council, which I don't really agree very often with them, I just don't see the people being willing to stand up to somebody trying to take away that charter city status. It's a valuable.
And the only way we can ever have ward only voting is to get rid of the charter city. Otherwise, we will never be able to see another Republican voted into the city of Tucson. That's the issue that I've been working on. Is how do we get this ward only? And you've seen, you know, there's money given to PACs for ward only. There's been a ward only initiative that was put through for petitions to go on the ballot back in 2019. Even if they were to have been successful, or if this that was in this PAC, everybody talks about the PAC that Shelley Kice donated $25,000 to, none of that would be successful as long as we're a charter city. So it's, and the thing is, I completely agree with you that yes, it is in the Arizona Constitution. It is something that was put in place, you know, almost 100 years ago to protect the smallest form of government. But when your smallest form of government is communist, we really have to start reviewing it.
Okay, but I think, and like I say, we've tried election by ward since my dad was involved in the 60s. So we've been through this, you know, more often than I care to discuss. Other than the fact is, we cannot have this. We have to realize, I don't agree with the liberal left in the city of Tucson, believe me. But on the flip side is, I want to get rid of the rhetoric. We have to get rid of this stuff. Government has to be managed and done for the people from the center. It cannot be done from one side or the other.
Correct.
And if we continue this battleground and attitude, we're not going to accomplish much, and we're going to keep going down that road where basically nobody wins.
I don't disagree.
And that's where this kind of would help this, because right now it's not even at the center. Our city is far, far, far left.
Okay,
and so the whole idea is just to balance it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Rick.
But you got areas like Casa Grande, they're a little more conservative. You have areas like Florence, they're a little bit more conservative. Cochise County, Sierra Vista.
Right.
You have
Marana.
You know, I'm not saying Marana. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ed Honey.
Yeah.
we have to have the elimination of attacking each other. We have to find a balance in the middle here, because this is not going to work.
This is not an attack. Getting rid of charter cities and introducing ward only to Tucson so we can have fair elections at the city level is not an attack on any side. This is, to be honest with you, it's been outweighed for far too long. Tucson is drowning. We have a county attorney, we have city council members that are turning a blind eye on the tent encampments, which that's another bill that I have, is making tent encampments illegal and putting the onus on the municipalities to remove them and to dispose of them immediately and to get help for those who are living on the streets. I'm making strides to speak with people in the HHS to try and get us some form of state hospital in Pima County, because we have so many people on the streets with severe mental illness, SMI, and the authorities will not drive them to Maricopa, and Maricopa does not have the space for them at our state hospital. And I know and understand that we got the University of Arizona, Phoenix, Maricopa got the state hospital, but the need for the people's, they need to have help, and there's just not enough resources in Pima County. So Pima is going to become San Francisco very quickly if we don't start making changes. And that's not an attack. It's looking at things with a fresh set of eyes, and I'm not alone. I'm having huge meetings with people that are stakeholders, that are government leaders. I'm working with people who sit on the government, the governor's committee, the GERC. These are people that are all in agreement. We need to do something, and we need to do something now. That's not an attack.
Rick and Justine, we have to take a small break. And Rick, you're welcome to stay on if you want. This is a great conversation, because it gets to the heart of what's going on in Tucson, and Tucson clearly has some severe homeless and mental health issues right now. So we are on Wynn Tucson. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is 10:30 a.m. The Voice, and we will be back right after this with Senator Justine Wadczak, LD-17. State Senator. Okay, it is Friday. And I just have to say, just before we get into this again, that way to go Wildcats. I'm so proud on the road. They beat Washington. They're Washington State. Thanks, Matt. I always love when the Wildcats win. Okay, and I want to, before we go back to this, I want to just underline Rick's point, which was that when this was done, when Tucson was made a charter city, there were certain assurances and promises. It's written in. It's part of the law. So any time you go to change the charter or the general ordinances, I think you have to know that there is going to be some pushback. If nothing else, for history. So I think that we also have to look at that when this was originally started, it was over, I believe, almost 100 years ago, if not. So I think that a lot has changed in Tucson. And if the reason that this was set up to be a charter city has outlived its usefulness, and I'm not saying it has. I think that we have to examine it, because clearly the structure of government and how the cities are being operated are appearing to be, at this moment in time, dysfunctional. So I'm going to...
That's right.
So,
and there's been some suggestion that with this charter city issue, we're dropping the bills now because we don't have time to... The Ledge Council flipped over. We have a lot of new attorneys there, so they're behind. I mean, we've had to cancel committee meetings because we haven't had enough bills out there for people to review. So it's a lot of new legislators, a lot of new Ledge Council. So the plan is drop the bills and then let's review them and get through the stakeholder meetings and we can create amendments to them if we need to. But the both of these issues, both ward only and the charter cities ideas, are going to go to the ballot. They are referendums to let the people decide. I think that where the stakeholder meetings will be very important, is to hear people like this gentleman who has his opinions to it, and they need to be heard. I'm here to write the idea, and then I hope that the people that I represent, the people across the state, will chime in with their ideas, and then we can say, okay, you know what, that's a great idea. Maybe within the charter city law in the Arizona Constitution, we remove the election portion of it, but we retain the rest. I mean, maybe there are things about a charter city that work and other things that don't. And especially right now when it comes to elections, it's just not. It's not working. So that's where this idea stems. But the bottom line is people need to know we can't have ward only as long as there's that charter city status. So,
and I think that's pretty clear. Rick, do you have any final comments on this?
Yeah, just real quick. Number one, I've run for public office twice as a city council candidate, where I won the ward and lost citywide.
Right.
I had to be a write-in candidate because the Republicans couldn't figure out how to put a candidate on the ballot in 2011. Mm-hmm. I've been through this rodeo. And number two, the courts have upheld the status of the charter city. You're going to have a heck of a time trying to get the Arizona Supreme Court, even if the voters pass it. The charter cities are going to sue, and they're going to win again. And yeah. I just want to close with this. I would really appreciate it if legislative or elected officials would quit referencing each other as MAGA, as communist, and all these other things. I don't agree with a lot of the politics and down here, believe me. I've forgotten more than a lot of people will learn.
Yes, sir.
But on the flip side is, let's eliminate the personal rhetoric and let's focus on finding a way to, there's an old solution. If you focus on what you can accomplish, mm-hmm. you spend less time fighting on what you can't. You ladies have a good day, and thanks for allowing me to share.
I think
you're very welcome.
Rick, thank you so much for your insight, and I don't disagree that if the Arizona Supreme Court thinks something is unconstitutional, they will not go forward with it. So
we expect a lot of lawsuits based on some of these bills that are coming through the legislature on both sides. And, you know, Ledge Council, our policy directors and policy groups, everybody is in agreement that if we don't start putting these discussions forward, nothing's going to change. Part of the problem with previous legislatures is they were all told, don't do that, don't run that, it's just going to go to court. And that's why we're here. We're going to run these things and knowing that it's likely going to go to court, and then we have to fight for them. And yes, there are things that are changing. It's time for the conversation.
Well, and so we're going to leave that right there where that is. So what are some of the other things that you're working on?
So I have for DCS, I am running a bill that states that parents have a right to a trial by jury of their peers. I'm also looking to remove the team decision meeting, which puts DES in charge of whether or not a parent gets to keep their child or not, even when they're under investigation. And there's the problem with DCS is that there's never any opportunity for a free and speedy trial. It's all done through the agency. And when you have the fox guarding the hen house, that's an issue. So that is one. I also have for gun rights. I'm protecting the gun shows' rights to have their gun shows at, say, the Pima County Fairgrounds, and making sure that can't go away.
Justine, is do we need legislature for that?
Yes, there's a lot of issue where they're from the county level, they're trying to stop having gun shows at the Pima County Fairgrounds. And I had an overwhelming number of people come to me asking to do something about that.
So who is against Pima County having gun shows?
Who's against it? Probably people who are against guns. So
okay.
I'm trying to protect the rights of gun shows to rent out that facility and have gun shows at the Pima County Fairgrounds and elsewhere in the county, because there was a lot of talk about them removing that right. It's when it comes to some of these bills, there's human smuggling. I have a bill about the human smuggling with use of apps. We have an overwhelming number of people coming into our state from all over the country, a lot of them young people, who get onto this app and they're paid $10,000, $5,000 per illegal person that they traffic from the border up to Phoenix and elsewhere.
Yes.
And it's a real problem. So there's a felony charge and jail time for anybody who does that. And I don't know if you guys saw Sheriff Lamb put up a video where he pulled over a woman who, she looked like a just everyday woman, you know, nice SUV. And in the back seat, she had roughly four or five illegals laying down, four of them laying down on cardboard in her back area. And she had her car was full of air fresheners. She clearly knew what she was doing. And they had been tracking her, and they were able to look at her cell phone to see that she had just been in NACO.
Right.
And she picked these people up, and she was getting paid. And that's how they're paying their car payments. It's supplemental income by trafficking. And trafficking of any kind is something that has to be stopped, whether you're trafficking illegals or trafficking Americans through the border.
Well, it's so naive. If you are, so there's a woman in a car with four unknown males in her car. At some point, she could be dead in the desert. You know, it just, people are so stupid to think that in a nice SUV, right? Because why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
And so shame on her, but I'm glad she got caught. But it used to start out, I mean, we're talking a year and a half ago, it was $1,000 a head, $2,000 a head, $3,000 a head. Now, you know, I was with Mark Daniels, the other sheriff named Mark in our state, and they continue to see young people being contacted by the cartels who are driving down to the border, getting in high-speed chases. We've had over 27 people killed in high-speed chases in the state. That's a whole other unintended consequence of this. And again, if you're in contact with a criminal enterprise, if you're in contact with a cartel or gangs who are illegally doing anything, whether it be drugs, guns, or human beings, you are committing a crime. This is not a business opportunity. This is not telemarketing. This is committing a crime, and you need to be held accountable. Never mind the people that are being brought here that are, they're breaking the law. So now you're helping facilitate that. And I say, and our law enforcement doesn't need more things to do. So obviously we need to secure the border. That starts there. But you need to be held accountable if you intentionally and willfully are breaking the laws of our state. And I say increase the penalties. Stop helping facilitate the trafficking of human beings into our state and into our country.
Which I know you and I share a very passionate viewpoint on that from all angles. And I have been a staunch, you know, I've been staunch on my position on trafficking. And when people would say, oh, child trafficking is a conspiracy and you're a conspiracy theorist. No, it's a proven fact. I mean, I've met with Border Patrol people. I've met with ICE, the ICE director. I've met with many people that have told me, no, this is absolutely happening. And, you know, the foster care system, too. We have a lot of issues with missing children, and that needs to be taken care of. There needs to be a way for us to track these children. I mean, they can track everything else. They can't track a child in our system. So I'm working with other senators on that as well. Another is a ballot initiative. You know, right now, if the Democrats want to get a ballot initiative, their signatures, and do it quickly, they just go to South Phoenix, get all their signatures, and submit. My bill will make it so that they have to do it all over the state equally, and they'll have a much harder time.
So, Justine, we have come to the end of our hour. I will see you probably tomorrow morning. God bless you.
Oh, yeah.
This has been Wynn Tucson. I'm Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Go out and make it an amazing weekend. And to my good friends who are state committeemen, thank you for the service that you've signed up to do. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you.